דלתיים נדיבים, דלתיים נדיבים, דלתיים מרום, לא ננעלו, לא ננעלו.
Morning. It is 8:02. You're listening to KBOO in Portland. This is Positively Revolting Talk Radio. I'm Lynn. I'm here with...
I'm Ani.
Oh, yay. We're all here. That was Karim playing for us this morning, and we are really happy this morning to have with us... we think of him as a friend of the show, Michael Mead. He is the founder of Mosaic Voices of the Multicultural Foundation. He is a mythologist, a storyteller, I like to say a fine raconteur. His books include The Rag and Bone Shop, Water of Life, Initiation and Tempering of the Soul, The World Behind the World, The Great Dance, Finding One's Own Way in Troubled Times, Men and Life of Desire, just to name a few. This morning we're going to be talking with him about a new 4D set, CD set that he's got out called Inner Wisdom and the Eternal Youth and the Wise Old Sage. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Ani.
Good morning, Michael.
How are you this morning?
Pretty good, you know. Maybe not as wise as on some other occasions.
What are you going
to
do?
Find my way there.
Yes, yes, yes. This is a great... This. You know, you've done a lot of work lately, and this CD, Inner Wisdom, it just reminds me, it's, I don't want to say a culmination, like you're finished or something, but it seems to be putting together a lot of things that you've been talking about for many years now, to me.
Yeah, yeah. In particular, I was thinking about the wisdom traditions in the East and those in the West, and how they're different and how they're similar, and how they're trying to come together in certain parts of contemporary culture. The influences of the Eastern spiritual practices, which tend to move towards higher spirit, and then the ancient Western tradition of the deepening of the soul. And so I thought I would work on those two kind of major spiritual influences and see how I could weave them together.
I know, in my very beginning of learning anything about metaphysics, I was taught that like Eastern stuff was a rise, always going up, and that the Western traditions had more of an angle and turns and swifts. And you always talk about the difference between spirit and soul.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, spirit. One way to look at it is spirit is connected to fire and air, both of which rise. So if you divide it along the lines of the basic elements of life, spirit tends to rise like air and fire. And soul is connected to water and earth and tends to descend. So a person is made of these two huge pulls, and they can pull us apart. And if a person becomes too spiritual, they either become too airy-fairy, as some people might say, or they consume themselves and burn themselves up in the fire of their spirit or some spiritual practice. So then that means they lack soul in a certain sense. And a person can also get so descended into the areas of the soul that they become kind of slaughtered in depression, or they wallow in some watery depths. And so they are lacking spirit. And so one of the old ideas, which you find, for instance, in Western alchemy, is that a person is supposed to walk the entire ambit of life, find the heights of their own spiritual longings, and find the depths of their capacity to love. And love is often connected to the soul, because the soul is the connecting element, the hidden glue of life. And so when things become too spiritual, that's when you often have great battles and oppositions, because there's not enough soul to hold the opposites together. And in modern times, we have all of the oppositions and all of the polarities, and you can say what's most lacking is soul. And so the CD set moves slowly towards the depths of the soul, in which there is said to be found the hidden gold.
Yeah, I like... I know that this year James Hillman died, and he was a great mentor, your therapist. There's a lot of imagery in this CD set about what goes on between the elder and the younger, and when elders have to like sort of give younger people the space. I don't know, did that influence you at all, that happened this year, this goes?
James was a major mentor for me, and of course he was coming very much from the Western tradition, like Carl Jung's study of alchemy and the kind of Renaissance, and so he was a champion of the soul and trying to bring soul back into psychology, where ego tends to take over, and trying to bring soul back into culture through architecture and also the environmental movement, which can be a movement of the soul. So there's a tremendous loss to the culture, and then to me personally. So that is an influence there. And one of the old ideas is that wisdom combines the eternal youth with the ancient sage, so that in becoming wise, a person becomes both older and younger at the same time. Both more connected to ancient things, which are eternal, and young in the sense of more open and available to immediate inspiration. So you could say that wisdom is something that combines the immediate with the eternal. So that is, what is wise on one occasion is completely unwise on another occasion. In that sense, you could say there's no general wisdom, but only the wisdom that applies in the moment. Mm. Psychologically, the two components of internal wisdom are this eternal youthful quality that people have, even though most don't know it now. And also, you could call it the inner sage, the kind of wisdom trying to awaken in one's soul. And so I take the tack that wisdom, just as each element of nature, each tree is different and unique, even though they're all trees, wisdom is never found in the general, but it's found in the particular. And so you could say then that each person has their own inner wisdom trying to awaken from within, and it's unique. So it's the awakening of the individual, which is kind of a Western idea, that brings wisdom back to the world. And my assumption is that everybody notices that the world is not very wise lately.
Why, whatever would make you think that?
I didn't say Mitt Romney.
Because I'm hype. And to sort of go that direction for a moment, Michael, if we could look at the importance of myth-making, of storytelling, to make sense of a world that seems to have gone mad. Can you talk about why this work is actually, you know, people think, oh, well, storytelling, you know, that's like for kids. And yeah, we all grew up knowing Aesop's Fables or, you know, these things, you know, great, you know, grasshoppers, I have to work now. But that's not the be all and end all of what myths are. Can you talk about the importance of myth making?
Well, to me, I forget the poet who said this world is not made of atoms. It's made of stories.
Muriel
Rukeyser.
Yes.
So this is the world of stories we live in. And whether it's the news, which is trying to give you the latest story in some version or other, or relationship from the Latin relatare, to bring it back to the other person, which is usually to tell one story to the other person. That's what keeps the relationship going. The stories are what hold it all together. And part of what's happened is the modern world has lost its big story. You know, the idea that we have a huge deficit that we can't deal with, that's not a big story. That's a pretty common story. That's a pretty small story. So we have that story, and everybody's fighting over their little piece of that story. Economics has become the story. But that's a collapsed imagination that puts economics on top. Typically, what's on top is the great stories of the world, that we're living in the midst of a mystery, that each human being has their feet on the ground and their imagination somewhere in the cosmos, that we are the living kind of opportunity for the big story to unfold. And so myths are the big stories that people have told that somehow have within them, story means storehouse, they have stored within them the big ideas and the big imaginations and the kind of narratives that carry inside them indigenous intelligence. And so what I try to do is work with big stories from different cultures that seem to apply to the conditions that we're surrounded by, and then get people to connect their individual story to that big story, so that I can be suffering terribly in my own little world. You know, all the things that are going wrong, and I'm being punished, and I think I'm turning into Job or something.
Mm-hmm.
But if I then can take that anguish, confusion, pain, and suffering, and put it into the kind of territory of a big story, all of a sudden I go, oh, I see, wait a minute. I'm in this kind of a tale. And the way stories go, they create the greatest difficulty and then work through it. So that, for instance, children love fairy tales, and smart parents tell fairy tales to their children, because what the children learn is, oh yeah, there's a big monster right around the corner, but the heroine or the hero finds their way through. So stories are the narratives that show us how to live through and understand the dangers of our own lives.
Yeah, that is true.
This doesn't work so well on radio, but as you were talking, as you finished up there, Linda and I looked at each other significantly and nodded. and I realized to the listening audience that doesn't mean much, but it's rare to see us speechless at the same time. That's what I have to say about
thank you.
I think. Just to tag on. So this is 2012, and then there are many people thinking that the world's going to end because of political issues that are coming from all angles.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other people that think the world's going to end on December 21st or this 22nd, depending on who you're talking to,
mm-hmm.
because of the Mayan calendar and so on. But it's really helpful to know that most of the myths of the world include the notion that the world cannot end.
Mm-hmm.
This world is secretly tied to the eternal world behind it, and somehow or other, the world continues. And those kind of big story ideas help a person realize that even in the depths of our greatest difficulty, we also can continue if we trust that there are hidden resources, which most people don't find their inner resources until they're in trouble. And then secondly, that there is something slightly more positive in this world than all of the negative things combined.
Indeed. Yes. And I want to, I think we may have to do a pitch break in here. We're in membership drive, Michael. But I want to talk about, when we get back from that, your view that humans are really important. George Carlin once said that the Earth's going to shake us off like a bad case of the fleas. And I know that in your work, you feel that humans are actually very important. Sometimes that's hard to wrap a person's mind around with the way we're trying to rape and pillage the planet. But so when we get back from our membership, our little break here, I really want to talk about
that. That's where you
want
to go next?
Oh, is that all right with you?
I think that's a delightful turn. Good morning, Grace. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
We are here with you this morning. We're excited that you can share this morning with us and with Michael Mead and with our audience. And you can entice some folks to become members of Community Radio KBOO and keep this tradition going strong.
Yeah, we were just shaking off our own speechlessness after listening to that, you know, wonderful little piece there from Michael. It was really amazing. And yeah. We are offering for listeners who want to become members of KBOO an opportunity to hear more of that, because if they decide to call in now, dial 503-232-8818, or outside the Portland area, dial 877-500-5266 and say, I want to become a KBOO member. I want to join at $10 a month, $120 a year for that minimum pledge. They can get Inner Wisdom, Eternal Youth, and The Wise Old Sage, a 4-CD set by Michael Mead.
And I'm going to put out a plug, because I actually have this set, and it is great. And so I really think that if anyone here is a fan of Michael Mead and follows his work, this would be a great addition to their collection.
And there's only three of them.
So make that call right now, 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266, and ask about that CD set.
That's right. That's only 33 cents a day.
Yeah.
And you get this wonderful resource, this wonderful piece I don't even know how to describe it. I think Michael Mead is just great. And to be able to have that 4D CD set and to support community radio, to support programming like Lynn and Ani's program, which brings you guests like Michael Mead and all the other great public affairs programming, that is a real bargain. So you can do something that's going to feed your soul, feed community radio, keep good information out there on the airwaves, but pick up the phone, 503-232-8818. Or 877-500-5266, and tell that very friendly volunteer we have here, we have many friendly volunteers here, and say, I want to do this. I want to become a member. I want to join up at $10 a month.
You know, we do have a goal for this program of $1,000, and so we'd love you to become a part of that goal and to contribute to that goal. And the reason why we do that is because we want to stay on track. And our overall plan for this membership drive is to make $75,000. And we're going to keep going until we do that. So call early, call now, so we can do that. And then we can get back to our regular programming. But we need to hear from you. 503-232-8818. 877-500-5266. You know, we're so lucky to have people like Michael Mead. We're so lucky to have, you know, Ani and Lynn. I mean, we're just, you know, have these amazing people who are here to impart this knowledge and to share it with us. So, and there goes the phone. So thank you so much for calling. But, you know, we need to hear from you. And it's very, very important because this is the time. This is a time that we rely on our listeners and members to participate and to join in.
All right, it's really easy. I mean, I do it all the time. I turn on KABU and I'm just listening and just enjoying what I'm hearing. It's really easy to forget that it takes $1,800 a day to make that possible. And because we're not beholden to corporate interests, because we're relying on you, the listener, that means we're also hoping that you will step up and become a member so we can continue doing what I think KABU does so remarkably well and so uniquely well compared to other radio stations across the country, and that is provide you programming like what you're listening to right now, Ani and Lynn's interview with Michael Mead. So call 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266. Tell the volunteer you want to become a member. And again, if you make a minimum pledge of $120, you get a chance, you will be able to get, as a thank you gift, the 4-CD set by Michael Mead, Inner Wisdom, The Eternal Youth, and The Wise Old Sage. We only have 3 copies of that available, so you need to get your call in now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 503-232-8818. 1-877-500-5266 if you're long distance, or go to the website www.kabu.fm. I guess we don't have to say the www anymore, and but go there and then join the and then click the tip jar and you are good.
And of course, if you happen to be free and loose this morning, come on by the radio station. Get to meet some of the folks. You know, we have over 500 volunteers that make KABU possible. That's what makes it run. You can come down here, meet some of the folks, meet the on-air people, meet the engineers, and at the same time, you can write that check or give us a little of the green stuff and support community radio. But if not, call 503-232-8818. 877-500-5266. And again, minimum pledge of $120 will get you one of the very limited number of copies of the 4-CD set by Michael Mead that we're offering as a thank you gift.
All right.
And we thank you, Grace. We thank you, Dave, for letting us know what's going on, what our monetary goal is for this morning, because, you know, it's important to focus, actually, and ask for what we need. This is your community radio station. We are KABU. You keep us independent. You keep us listener-supported. It sort of completes that cycle. So 503-232-8818 or online, kboo.fm.
Select Positively Revolting.
Oh, yeah. I always forget to say that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Anyway, thank you, Michael, for holding on through that.
Sure.
And what we, you know, where I, Lynn had, I'll let Lynn go ahead and go where she wanted to.
Well, I just wanted you to talk about, because it's hard to think about why humans are so important at, these days. And I think you have some great thoughts on that. If you, could you expound on that?
Sure. So, you know, the Western philosophy, Western mythology is really important in this area because it is the kind of mythos that champions the individual. But, so let's see, where to start from? One notion is we are now living through a collapse of imagination. So one reason why politically everything becomes polarized and everybody's fighting about the smallest detail of budgets and things like that is because they can't imagine anything greater than that. And so imagination precedes everything that happens in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Einstein, who was thought to be the wisest or smartest person at the time, said that imagination is more important than knowledge. Graham Greene said, hatred is a failure of imagination. So when you really want to change
form
things...
Form follows thought.
Yeah, and so and thought follows image. So imagination, what's the old saying? Everything that exists first is imagined. So human beings happen to be in this strange, painfully wonderful position of being the imaginative witnesses of the ongoing creation of the world. I'm talking mythology now. And you can study myths from different parts of the world, and often the last thing created is the human being. Because after all the beauty of nature has been created, and all the mysterious wonder of the oceans and all the things that roll on and on, something was missing. And for instance, in the Popol Vuh, the Mayan mythology, they say that what was missing was a conscious being who could witness the wonder of creation and express gratitude for the gift of life. So there's a place to start from, that humans are conscious witnesses to the wonder of creation. At the core of the human soul, which, you know, there's many stories about where is the soul, but let's say it's in the heart. At the core of the soul, hidden in the heart, is the power of imagination. Humans are essential because we can imagine what actually is happening in the world, but we can imagine things that are about to happen. Humans are like the co-creators of the whole thing at an essential level. And so now that everything has collapsed into simple opposition, polarization, and so on, you can intuit that what's missing is imagination, and the only way to bring imagination fully into the world is through the human soul. So rather than needing one big idea that everybody's going to agree with, which will never happen, what really I think is needed is more and more people awakening to the imagination inside them. The imagination inside a person is connected with the intended personality, the intended path of their life. As more and more individuals awaken to their inner image, their inner giftedness, and the path their life is trying to go on, you could say awaken to the story embedded in them. As more and more people do that, the culture begins to wake up again. So just as with the pledge drive, you can't say, generally, everybody send us money. You have to say, you figure it out, you individual, 33 cents a day, whatever it was. It needs a bunch of individuals who, in fact, were invited to come by the station and imaginatively, soulfully connect to the place, which is what makes it community. So the individual is needed to sustain community radio. The individual is needed to sustain the very energy of culture. And ultimately, the individual is needed to connect culture with nature. Nature and culture are not opposed to each other when the human soul is awakened and emblazoned with its own imagination, because part of the depth of each human is that their inner nature, which is similar to the inner wisdom, and their inner nature is secretly connected to great nature. And so when a person awakens from within, finds the wisdom seated in them, they become a servant of nature and a creative force in culture. That's the thing about it.
Well, yes.
You keep rendering us speechless this morning. Okay, we're going to get going on with more interviews.
Well,
here.
I think if I could sort of go in a place, we know, I mean, imagination is so vitally important to change.
And it's fun.
And it does sort of get, you know, it is a part and parcel to that creative spark that makes us feel alive. How can people who have felt their imagination diminished, who have felt themselves crushed under the workaday world pressures, where they don't have 2 minutes to rub together, they feel they've lost all creative juice, and the term drudgery comes to mind. How does somebody who is maybe listening now going, oh, well, that's great for other people, but they don't know, I got to work 12 hours and then I've got my kid and I've got to do this other thing and my mom's sick and like I admit, what? And all of this stuff tends to dampen, you know, the creative spark, that to dampen our own connections with our spirit and with our own inner beings. how does someone start to awaken that imagination again? How does somebody start to rekindle their creative spark?
Well, it's a good question. And it has in it the implication, which I agree with, which is contemporary culture is against the awakening of the individual in order to manipulate the masses. It's a mass culture, and it tries to convert everybody into an element of the mass rather than an awakened individual. So the first thing is to realize that everybody is a unique person inside themselves. That's part of the given condition of being human. No one will ever be the person you are intended to be. Many other people, maybe better, maybe different, whatever. But no one will ever be who you are intended to be. Each person has a unique story trying to awaken from within. So the first thing is this realization that there is something unique inside that's trying to express itself. And then the thing I'm thinking of, or I was thinking of while you were talking, was off the map. The idea is that we are given maps. Our family gives us a map and says, you know, you should grow up and be successful in this way or that way. Or the family map says, don't go there, or don't be like that. And then you have the cultural maps, which say that financial success is success, or that say that you can never break out of that pattern of poverty you were born into, you know, social determinism. You have all kinds of maps that people are handing us all the time. And strangely enough, a person only finds themselves when they get off of those maps. And there's another map that is even more insidious than all of the maps we're being handed, and that's the ego's map. In other words, there's two selves, you could say. The little self, which in psychology they often call the ego, which thinks it has the map for one's life. And then the deeper self, the soul self, which has the big map, the hidden map. And so one of the things is simply get off the maps. So even if, let's say it's a single mother with children and a job and all the kinds of things, plus the war on women, everything's going on in that woman's life, there have to be steps off the map. And the two big directions to go in, I would say, are nature. Get out of the humdrum where all the roads are mapped out and get into nature where every step is a new route. Especially now in springtime, when nature is just stinging from all kinds of angles, and realize that nature is alive and sending messages. Well, Australian Aboriginal people had a term called horo, and it means everything in the world alive, standing up and looking at you. And so just get off the map and see what it is that's coming towards one when a person isn't trapped in the mapped out streets and pathways. And then the other thing is go towards what you love. Often what's happened is a person is trapped in a life that's determined by others or determined by economic need and stuff like that, and they've lost touch with what they love. And what some people love is standing in an art museum looking at wondrous paintings. For someone else, it's music. For someone else, dance or yoga or meditation. Those things are not just skills. When a person chooses from within the depth of themselves, it becomes their connection to what they love. Mm-hmm. And those things are desperately needed. Even if you have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning in order to be distant from your family or away from the kids or whatever it is, a few moments in touch with what a person loves begins to nourish the seeds of imagination, and from that, you know, the life can begin to blossom again.
Well, that's lovely. And we have a caller who would like to join us very briefly. Sean, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for the show. I wanted to ask your guest about the author Charles Reich. He had a book out over 40 years ago now called The Greening of America, and he spoke about consciousness three as people moving through the stages of consciousness. And I was really turned on by that book. He even referenced like Marx's concept of alienation. However, I find myself 20 years later just a rage-filled Maoist. I was wondering if you could help bring me back from the brink. Thanks.
Thank you.
In 2 minutes, Michael.
Well, again, my first move is, I guess, this morning is off the map. Marx had a map, limited map. The environmental movement has you know, a bigger map, but it's limited. The big surprise in life is to find the spark of imagination, the seeds of hidden intelligence, the wonder of the inner dream of one's life, and trust that somehow. We have all been told that the answers are from somewhere outside, and we have to go find them. We've all been told, I think, that history is something that you're trapped by and it's coming at you. But the old idea says history is made in the depths of the individual soul. We are the kind of, not even instruments, we are the creative factor in the making of history. We still are. And so we all pick up ideas that get us through the first 20 years or the first 30 years. And some of those maps are good. For some people, it's religion. For other people, it's political maps. And then eventually, those maps don't work anymore. And we can tell it because we feel stuck and we're anguished or we're enraged or we're, you know, kind of depressed. They're all indications that we're stuck someplace on someone else's map. And no matter who it is, a great leader, a great spiritual teacher, at some point they stepped off the map. The very people that are being followed, the great minds of politics, science, the great spirits of religion, all walked off the map. That's what makes them memorable and famous. So I think at this time, when nature is threatened, when culture is threatening to destroy itself, it's really both a necessity and an opportunity for people to step off the expected maps. But one reason I bring Eastern together with Western stuff, the Western notions of psychology and so on tell us not to trust what's in the depths of our own soul. You know, Freud was fearful of what was in his soul. That was where his psychology culminated, really.
Right, right.
In the Eastern world, they say that there is a little bit of the divine in everybody. And I think that's one reason why Eastern practices have come into the West, to remind us that there's something in us that, I don't know if you can put any kind of name on it, but I like the word soul. And there's a divine seed in the soul, which is the source of that imagination. The reason why human beings are troublesome, and of course we are, is because we're longing for something greater than anyone has ever shown us. And that's that longing for the connection to the divine. And some people will find their divine connection in the arts. Some will find it in spiritual practice. Some will find it in economics. There are people who are intended to be wealthy and have an idea of how to use that wealth for the benefit of others. And then there's those people who are just determined to get everybody's wealth in order to feel good for a few moments. And the trick is to get outside of those entrapping patterns and trust long enough that something will arise from within and then go walking in that direction. My thought.
Thank you for your thought. And we need to hear from Dave, and we need to hear from Grace about how we're doing. And good morning, Dave, Grace. Dave, Grace.
Hey,
Grace, Dave.
Hey, we're here. We're back.
Awesome. I know that people are calling 503-232-8818, or perhaps toll-free. They're calling 1-877-500-5266 because, in fact, they understand the value of looking deeper into our own conditions and conditioning in order to achieve real lasting social change and change in our own lives in that positive direction. Hey, positively revolting. It's kind of where we got the name from. So how are we doing? How many people are called? Who can we thank?
We have some people to thank.
Awesome.
And by the way, the CDs are gone. Those guys just flew right out the door. But we want to thank Sheila from West Lynn, Charlene from Portland, and Ruth from Beaverton. Thank you so much. And you know, we had another list here too, but we'll find it.
To thank you. We want to let people know they should not despair, because even though they missed out on that wonderful Michael Mead, we have another great thank you gift.
This is good.
For a minimum pledge of $180, they can receive private tarot astrology consultation with Ani and Lynn. Ani and Lynn will meet with you for a private reading and consultation, combining their gifts of using tarot and astrology. NT, we'll throw that in there. Often misunderstood as fortune telling or predicting the future, consultations are helpful in getting a big picture of a situation, gaining deeper understanding and insight. And all you have to do is call 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266, or go online and click the tip jar. That's KBOO.FM. Tip jar is up in the right-hand corner. And for that pledge of $180, minimum pledge of $180, you can have that wonderful thank you gift.
You know, I have some more people to thank. I found the other list. Yay. I want to thank Barrett from Vancouver, Margaret from Mosier, and Tom from Portland. You know, we're getting a lot of out-of-town callers today, which is fabulous.
That's marvelous.
We love hearing out-of-town callers. But we want to hear more.
What number would they have called?
They must have called 877-500-5266, at least Barrett and Margaret, who called from Vancouver and Mosier. Whereas Tom from Portland must have called 503-232-8888. And you could do that too. You can make that call. You could be like Barrett and dial 877-500-5266 and call, and some friendly volunteer will answer the phone, and you can find out about getting this wonderful astrology and tarot reading from Ani and Lynn. And that's a $15 a month. That is a really, really reasonable deal.
You can break it down to $15 a month. I know. Mm-hmm. I think that giving $5 a month or $10 a month, $15 a month, it's an easy way to support your community. I always suggest, if you're working, give an hour's wage every month and let yourself know that 1 hour every month you are working for the good of your entire community, supporting a resource that reaches into so many lives, into so many topics and genres of music, to both inspire us and inform us, and mostly to be that hub around which we can organize and create positive social change. So again, 503-232-8818. We do need to reach that goal of $1,000, and we need to hear from you right now. 503-232-8818 or online, kboo.fm. Isn't that right, Grace?
That's so true. And, you know, we have 20 minutes to make $540. So
That's easy enough.
So call right now, 503-232-8818.
It's easy with your help.
With your help. And, you know, if we had, say, four people calling in and making a $120 membership, we would go over our goal.
Right.
We would be very happy.
We can parse that any way we want. But the first step is for you to call 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm. Click that tip jar. You know, we've been talking earlier this morning about the fact it takes about $1,800 a day to operate this radio station, to enable you to be tuning into programs like Ani and Lynn's, to hear them interviewing people like Michael Mead, to hear all the other great public affairs programming that you rely upon to get through your day, to understand your community, to understand your world. Well, we don't go to the corporations. We don't go to the government. We rely on our listeners. That's why we are community radio. So please dial 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266. Talk to one of our volunteers who are just dying to pick up the phone and have a nice conversation with you and say, I want to become a member of KBOO. I want to be part of community radio. I want to support wonderful programming that means a lot to me and I know means a lot to others in my community. But you need to pick up that phone, 503-232-8818, 877-500-5266. We've talked about a minimum pledge of $180 to have a private tarot astrology consultation with Ani and Lynn. But, you know, if it's a little tight for you right now, consider $5 a month. That's $60 a year. Again, it makes a big difference to us in giving us the resources we need to be delivering on the airwaves to you these remarkable programs.
You know, if you become a member, you become an owner. And that's the beauty of KBOO. We are the 99%. We can we have many members who can, each of us, give us a little bit of money rather than maybe one or two members who give us, say, millions of dollars. We don't have that. We have a very wide area of support where people do that. They support us with their, you know, $10 a month, $5 a month, you know, $60 a year memberships, you know, and that's what really keeps us going. So we want you to join us. We want you to be part of this energy and part of this force that keeps KBOO going and keeps this information getting to you. You know, really, I mean, listening to someone like Michael Mead is just an amazing thing to be able to do. You know, you don't hear him so much on the other radio stations. You know, you don't hear people like Michael Mead. You don't, you know, Democracy Now! Is on a pretty limited number of stations, you know, and it's because of your participation and your commitment to making this happen. So make this, you know, support your community, support your community radio station, call 503-232-8818, call 877-505-2266, or do the kboo.fm tip jar thing. But just do it. Do
right.
it all.
We use these breaks as an opportunity, of course, to remind our members who have been supporting us, one, to thank them,
yes.
and to suggest that, you know, now's a good time to maybe up their membership a little bit. If they've been doing $5 a month, maybe bump that up a dollar or two or $5, because that, again, is a big help. But more importantly, we want to reach out to those people who are listening. And we know over the 47,000 or so folks who are listening right now, unfortunately, about 90% of you are not members. You're enjoying wonderful programming, but you really need to join us and be part of making that programming an ongoing thing. We've been doing this for over four decades at KBOO. We want to do it for another four decades or longer. But the formula for success there is having you, the listener, be involved, be part of the radio station. And you do that first and foremost by picking up the phone, dialing 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266 and telling our volunteers here that I want to become a KBOO member. I want to make community radio thrive. I want to continue hearing programming like Ani and Lynn's program right now and their wonderful conversation with Michael Mead.
And we'll get right back to that conversation with Michael Mead, sort of wrapping it up, bringing it home in our last stretch. Lynn, it looks like you want to jump in.
Michael, I just wonder, Michael is going to be in town on June 30th doing... I forgot to write it down. I was at the last ceremony, a homecoming. What do you call it, Michael?
I think we're calling it a welcome home ceremony for veterans, particularly battle veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, but it also includes Vietnam-era veterans and other veterans.
I was at the last one, and I just want to tell people that it was 4 hours of no one could leave. It was riveting. I personally learned so much about how important it is to witness something for people. It was, and I know our engineer Mike was there too, and we plan on being on this one. That's true. Mike says there was not a dry eye in the place. It was really wonderful, Michael. And it's going to be at the, we'll have more information for you later because I think we'll try to.
But the date again is?
June 30th.
Excellent.
It's a Saturday evening. And just to say briefly, what happens is we work with a contingent of veterans, women and men. There's a lot more women now involved in the military, but also who are in battle circumstances, regardless of, you know, what the official statements are. And we work together, and this goes back to the idea of myth and story. I tell stories that are connected to the ideas of battle and also suffering and healing. And then they begin to talk about their most traumatic and dramatic experiences in life, in battle, in war. And then they turn those into, we call it poetry, loosely organized poetry, but it gives it a kind of a potency and a directness. And then they stand up in public, read those things, talk about their experiences and what happened in their life and what happened in their soul. And it becomes kind of a community healing experience in which the wounds are exposed in order that they be healed. And, of course, part of the amazing experience is how those who have the courage to go into battle for whatever reasons then have a similar courage for healing, it turns out. And so it becomes a community ceremony in which they're welcomed back, but at the same time, the wounded, traumatized aspects of ourselves are welcomed into the room. And somehow it is so deeply moving, and everybody leaves with some kind of healing. That seems to be what happens.
Yeah. Anyway,
I want to, in the few moments we have left, just ask you a little bit about a statement you make in your CDs, The Inner Wisdom, the 4-CD set just out. You talk about real change being created by channeling the divine word that we were given at birth into the world. And I found that concept to be so profound that we are at birth sort of imbued with a divine spark, a seed, and that it is really our call to fully embody that and be that and bring it out.
Yeah, I call it the first agreement of the soul. And thank you for bringing it up. To me, it's essential to understanding how to live right now. So where the East and the West, one of the places they meet in the kind of depths of living philosophy and mythology is that even science joins them there, because science now says that everybody has a speck of the original exploding star inside them, or we couldn't be here. And so one of the old stories that I tell is how when someone is born, they used to say that the sisters of fate shook the earthenware jar in which there were bits of wood. The bits of wood had been carved from the roots of the tree of life. And each bit of wood has on one side of it the limitations of a person's life, but on the other side it has the divine word that is the divine seed in their soul. And when someone is born, they shake this old jar, and the first bit of wood that comes out is their lot in life. Because a bit of wood used to be called a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so lottery derives from that idea of shaking up something and the lot comes out. And so what I would try to tell people is you already won the lottery. If you can figure out what your lot in life is, because the two sides of it are limits. You're a woman, you're a man, you're this height, you have this kind of background. You have, as they now say, inherited genetics is how they look at it. Secretly and on the other side of all those limitations that make us one little bit in this huge surging universe, on the other side of that is the divine word planted in the soul. And the word, they don't mean simply a word. They mean the kind of inner plot, the plot line, the inner living story trying to awaken. In the beginning was a word. From the word comes the whole story. And so everyone is carrying this divine implant of the seed of a story that is trying to awaken. And it's the kind of story that involves choice as well as inner inclination. So at each step along the way, we make a choice, but we also hopefully find and follow what's seeded within us. And then it becomes this ever-expanding story. And then at the end of life, these are old stories. They say at the end of the life, they don't ask you, were you kind to people? You know, how successful were you? What's your portfolio like? They don't ask you that, whoever's there at the end. They ask you, did you live out that divine word? Did you find out who you were inside? And then did you make an effort to live that into the world? So in the midst of all the changes going on, in the confusions that are going to continue, it seems to me one thing that a person could turn to and find deep meaning from is finding this inner-seated story, this divine word within, which gives a person a chance to fully express themselves and to contribute something unique to life. And they say that each person's inner divine-seated parts are wise and also helpful to others. So by becoming oneself, under this old mythological idea, a person becomes automatically beneficial to the community. And the big community includes culture, but also nature. And so both culture and nature benefit from a person becoming able to express who they really are at seed.
Thank you, Michael. I think that is a great place to sort of wrap this up, don't you? Thank you very much. I can't.
Well, thank you.
Oh, we love having you with us. Again, such an important tool to help make sense of this world, to help make sense of ourselves and each other, and to engage in the deep, deep work that is ours to do. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Good luck with the pledge drive.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for your help.
We'll see you in June.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. And so, Dave and Grace, we do need to know how we're doing. I want to encourage people to call right now. We have just about 8 minutes to raise, I'm guessing, something like $500.
A little over five.
So. All right.
Well, looks like the numbers are changing.
Okay,
well, okay, we'll give you an update in just a minute.
Okay, 503-232-8818. You can help actually make the numbers spin round really fast.
Yeah, you can. You can. Yeah.
And,
you've got some time.
Yeah, you could do it right now. Call 503-232-8818, 1-877-500-5266. I always feel like, you know, an hour with Michael Mead just flies by so quickly. And God knows, leaves us so much to think about. You know, this is possibly not my more talkative time. Now I'd like to go off and reflect over a cup of tea.
Right, it got very
quiet. Ponder some while.
It yes. got very quiet in here during that last moment of his talking. I think all of us were being very thoughtful, and I'm sure many of our listeners were. All of our listeners were probably the same way. But now's the time, as Tom Peterson used
action.
To say, wake up!
Wake up!
And dial 503-232-8818. I'm dating myself.
Oh, boy.
877-500-5266. And say, I want to become a member. I want to support community radio. I want to have the opportunity to continue hearing programming like Ani and Lynn's show and this wonderful interview they've just done with Michael Mead. And I want to do that at, say, oh, $60 a year, $5 a month. Or if they want to go up to a minimum pledge of $180, Thank You Gift is a private tarot and astrology consultation with Ani and Lynn.
We love to do that. We love to meet our listeners. I love doing tarot reading. I've been doing it for about 30 years this year. I'm in my 29th year, I think. It's something that I found a whole lot of joy in, as it's another tool to sort of assess and frame what's happening in our lives so we can get a bigger picture and sort of figure out where energy flows for right action and how we're developing ourselves and with community. So, and Lynn's astrology.
They just meld. It's a very nice blending of ideas. I, too, have done astrology for 30 years. And I just don't even know. It seems like a whole lifetime endeavor.
No doubt it is.
Since I'm only 35, I started when I was
5. Yeah, right.
she started pre-birth, actually. Yes, it's a leftover
doing
skill.
Charts with a crayon.
That was me. That was me. So
astrology.
Yeah, it's and we get, folks seem to really enjoy them and feel that they are very useful in their lives. So we're really happy to offer that. As a gift for our fabulous listeners and members of KABU, 503-232-8818. Come on down and get one.
Yeah, and you know, but we'd love to hear from you. Call us right now. We do have about a little over 500 more to go, and we have 5 minutes, and we know we can do that because
we've done it
many times. But make that call, make it happen. We'd love to hear from you. 503-232-8818. 877-500-5266 if you're at long distance.
That's right. We know that there are so many of you out there who are loyal fans of this program. We need you, if you're not a member, to call in now, 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266. If just five of you call in and pledge at a level of just a little over a quarter a day, we'll make our goal for this hour, and that would be a very good thing. Ani and Lynn and all of us will do a happy dance in the studio.
And we will. And we will. And we want you to be like Richard of Portland, who just called in. And we, you know, and it's so easy to do. You know, it'll take you about 2 or 3 minutes, and then you will feel really, really good.
503-232-8818. Help us achieve that goal of $1,000. It's so important that we actually do that because it means that the entire station is being supported. We need to raise $75,000 this spring drive to meet our budget, to keep us going. And you are a vital part of that. If not you, who, right? And that is quite literal at this time. If you've been touched by the words of Michael Mead, if you are a listener, a regular listener to Positively Revolting, if you think about what Lynn and I have done over the last even, you know, few weeks, you know, we've looked into May Day with the Portland Liberation Organizing Council, and we know now as of, you know, this week that May Day has happened, that there's a wonderful rehousing that took place in Northeast Portland. Actually, Northeast Portland, so that, you know, a woman who had been forced out of her house through foreclosure is now back in that house with community support and an active resistor to fighting the system of the banksters who are stealing from us all. We've also looked at Barbara Ford with environmental activism, seeing ourselves as a part of the planet and seeing the deep ecology awakening. We've also talked about healthcare and taking power into our own hands to create patient worker co-ops or patient doctor, patient physician co-ops. We've talked to Keith McHenry, one of my personal heroes, who founded Food Not Bombs, and is one of the most arrested activists in all of history.
And an engaging
activist that,
as well.
Feeding people.
Feeding the poor.
What a criminal act.
I mean, and that's just over the last month, okay? I mean, that's the last month. So that's what Lynn and I are doing here on Positively Revolting. Please do support us. 503-232-8818. 1-877-500-5266. Speaking of some of the most arrested activists, there is, in fact, yesterday there was a raid, a police raid on an anarchist house in North Portland, on North Mississippi. Today, Brian Michael Wiedemann, better known as Pax in the community, is facing 72 counts of criminal mischief, which is actually a Class C felony. So a very young local anarchist facing 72 counts of felony. He's going to be arraigned today, and people are asked to show up in support at the Justice Center, courtroom 3 at 2 o'clock. So this is the other thing Lynn and I try to do, is bring you breaking news from the community, things of import that we need to know about so we, again, can be in solidarity with each other.
That's right, and you need to support that. So it's really time to step it up. If you are not, if you are a listener and not a member, it's time to go to the next level. Make that call, 503-232-8818, 877-500-5266. Make that call and support this amazing radio station.
Call now.
Thanks so much.
The sun and you and me. All the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day. In an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. Bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe.